Good evening. Good to see everyone out this evening. Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles, turn to the book of James. James chapter 5 tonight. We're going to be in James chapter 5. If you were here last Sunday night, you know we started a series of messages we're going to deal with on Sunday nights, and that's going to be the God-glorifying life. That's hopefully all of our desire. If we're Christians here tonight, if we've trusted Christ as Savior, hopefully our desire is to honor Jesus Christ with our life. And so we're going to begin to look at some specific areas. Tonight we're going to deal with the God-glorifying prayer life. And so that's going to be our message for tonight. So if you will, let's stand for in reverence to the Word of God as we read it together. We're going to begin reading in verse number 16. And the Bible says this in James chapter 5, verse number 16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then it says in verse 17, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." We're going to deal with just that simple topic tonight, the God-glorifying prayer life. How can we pray in such a way? What does our prayer life need to look like in order for our prayer life to bring honor and glory to God? So let's go ahead, bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get started tonight. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here in your house again. Father, we thank you for each one that's here, and God, we trust that each one has come seeking to hear from you tonight. And Father, that's my desire as well. And Father, I pray once again that you'd use me as simply your instrument, God, to carry your word to these, your people. And Father, just pray now that you would meet with us here tonight. Father, we give you praise for what you've accomplished this morning. Father, we praise you for the soul that was saved, the one that trusted Christ this morning. And Lord, we pray, trust that you're still at work in the hearts of others tonight. And Father, just pray that you'll be with us, meet with us here tonight. May the Spirit of God have liberty to do that which he desires to do tonight. And Father, we thank you for it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated. So we... I think a lot of times we as Christians, we look at prayer and we think that prayer is... those who have power in prayer are different. There's something special about them. But that's one thing I love about the Bible. The Bible shows us and gives us examples, and it never leaves out the mistakes. It never leaves out the fact that these men and women who are recorded in the pages of Scripture were just like you and me. And that's what we find tonight in this passage of Scripture. We read about Elias, which we know to be Elijah the prophet. And I like how it starts out there in verse 17 where the Bible says this, "And Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are." And basically all that's saying is this, we look at Elijah and we think, boy, wouldn't it be great to have power with God the way that Elijah did, to have that kind of a prayer life that you could pray and God would send fire from heaven, that you could pray and God would withhold the rain, and then you could pray and God would once again send the rain. And we look at that and we think, man, wouldn't that be awesome? But the simple fact is this, he was just like you and me. He just had a tremendous faith in God. And so we're going to look at tonight what it takes to have a prayer life that brings glory and honor to God. And I want to start out with just you prepare yourselves because this is a very, very deep theological quotation here from D.L. Moody. Someone once approached D.L. Moody, and Moody was known for his prayer life. Moody was known for watching God answer prayers and great things that sometimes seemed impossible, but Moody would pray and God would answer. And so someone once approached D.L. Moody and they said, "Moody, what is the secret to that wonderful prayer life of yours?" And here was Moody's answer. Now prepare yourself because it's very deep, very theological. And Moody said this, "The secret to prayer is praying. The secret to prayer is praying." You know what? If we want to have power with God in prayer, we better just get busy praying. But there are some things, there are some details that we need to cover tonight, because if we're to pray in such a way that brings glory and honor to God, how can we do that? If our prayers are to bring glory and honor to God, well, they must be prayers that are answered. That's when God is glorified, when we pray and God answers. And so what does it take for us to pray in such a way that God will answer our prayers? And so I want you to take a look with me, and we're just going to walk through these few verses of Scripture tonight and just give some very simple things that will help us to have a prayer life that brings glory and honor to God. So look with me now in verse number 16, and that's where we'll begin tonight. It says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. But now notice it says that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so the first thing I see here is this. In order to have a God-glorifying prayer life, there must be purity of heart. That's something that absolutely is necessary if we are to pray in such a way that God will hear and God will answer our prayers. We must have a pure heart before God. Does that mean we must be sinless? No, certainly not. All of us have failed in that area. But we must keep a heart that is right with God. I love the book of 1 John over there, and when it talks about confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we'll make a habit of that, we'll be able to keep a pure heart before God. In fact, the Scripture says this in the book of Psalms, chapter 66, and verse number 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you want to know a sure way to not have your prayers answered? Just refuse to deal with the sin that God reveals in your life. When you regard iniquity in your heart, that simply means I regard it, I allow it to stay there. Now, all of us are going to fall. All of us are going to fail. All of us will come short in this area of sin. Every one of us is guilty before God of sin, even since the day that we trusted Christ. But the deal is this. We must deal with that sin, and we must deal with it regularly. We must, as God begins to reveal sin in our lives, we must confess that sin, turn from that sin, ask God's forgiveness. And then God will do exactly as He said, and He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So one of the keys to having a successful prayer life, a prayer life that brings glory and honor to God, is purity of heart. To have power in prayer, we must pray with a clean heart. Our heart must be right with God. And I'll go another step further and say this, that if you're not right with the folks down here, you're not right with God. Friend, let me tell you tonight, you cannot hang on to bitterness, to anger, to those things, those frustrations that would enter into our heart because of our fellow man. Hey, all of us deal with it. All of us, sad to say, don't get along with everybody. Friend, I'll be honest with you, there's some folks I just don't get along with. But if I allow bitterness and I allow anger and I allow malice and those things to creep into my heart and I refuse to deal with those things, it will hinder my prayer life. You've probably read in Scripture where the Bible talks about actually that even between a man and his wife, if a man and his wife, the relationship is not right, it says your prayers will be hindered. There's the encouragement. He talks about that relationship between the husband and wife, and he says you need to keep that right lest your prayers be hindered. So hey, these relationships down here are important to keeping our heart right with God. And so we've got to deal with sin. As God reveals sin in our lives, we've got to deal with that sin. And confess it to God, ask His forgiveness, and trust that He'll do exactly what He said and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and help us to maintain a purity of heart before God. That's the first key. We're going to deal with five different things tonight, so we'll be fairly brief on each one, but five keys to this prayer life that glorifies God. Number one is a purity of heart. But now number two, notice this. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So not only do we need purity of heart, but we need a passionate prayer life. We need a passion in our prayer life. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you agonized in prayer? When was the last time you knelt down with a burden on your heart for someone or something and tears flowed freely down your face? When was the last time you felt the pain that someone else was dealing with, the heartbreak, the sorrow that they were dealing with as you called out to God on their behalf? When's the last time you prayed with a real burden? Friend, that's what we see here, the effectual, fervent prayer. This was not when Elijah prayed. Elijah didn't just bow down before God and say, God, I'd sure appreciate if you'd stop the rain. God, I'd sure appreciate if you'd just send the fire down. I don't think that was how Elijah prayed at all. You imagine as Elijah was there before God and he was begging God to stop the rain so that he could show King Ahab who God was. And then as he was there upon Mount Carmel and he was praying for God to send the fire, I can just imagine him calling out with that passion as he said, God, I want you to show yourself powerful. I want you to send the fire and consume this offering that they may know that you're God. And friend, he prayed with passion. So that's something else. These words actually, if you look up the original language, it's actually the word that we draw our word energy from. It's energeo, which just means energy. Hey, we need to pray with energy. We cannot pray with this dead just going through the motions. That's the problem with our prayer life many times, is it becomes commonplace. We get into a habit of kneeling down and hey, I'm guilty just like anyone else. I can think about when we pray for a meal and how many times do we just say, God, we thank you for this food. We pray that you'll bless it to our body. We pray you'll bless our bodies to your service. Amen. And there's no energy to it. There's no passion in our prayers. And friend, the fact is that can seep into even our private prayer life as we kneel before God. We get into a routine. We get into the point where it's just a duty. It's just a habit. It's just commonplace, and we've lost the passion. We no longer carry a burden. Maybe we're praying for that lost soul, but we don't, within our mind and in our heart, recognize the fact that if something doesn't happen in their life, they'll spend eternity in hell. And friend, we don't carry the burden that we need to have for the loss that we're praying for. Maybe we see the one who's going through a loss, who's dealing with grief and sorrow and pain, and we don't recognize the real emotions that they're dealing with. And we don't have that burden we need to have. We need to pray with passion. If we're to pray in such a way that God is glorified and that God hears and answers our prayers, we need to pray with passion. Friend, we see the perfect example in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he was there and he prayed in the garden, the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, where you'll find that occasion, and it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So he set the example for what it looks like to pray with passion. You imagine the Lord Jesus Christ as he was there praying to the Father and begging God, if there was another way, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And as he prayed, the sweat flowed and the tears no doubt flowed in the passion of his prayer. And God hears a passionate prayer. Friend, we need to have passion. We need to have life. We need to have vigor within our prayer life. Now we move on from that. We need to have purity of heart. We need to have passion. We need to, next of all, have persistence. Friend, we must be persistent in our prayer lives if we are to bring glory and honor to God. We don't see very often in Scripture that prayers were answered the first time that they were prayed. Friend, in fact, the Lord Jesus gave a parable about the unjust judge, and he spoke of that one who, by their continual coming, wearied that unjust judge to the point that he was willing to give what was asked for. And then God said, how much more shall our Father give you those things which you ask for? He talks about how we need to come and come and come again. Friend, don't give up before God gives the answer. I read once where somebody approached John R. Rice, and they asked him, they said, Brother Rice, how do you know when to quit praying for something? And he said, let me tell you. He said, either God will answer or God will change your heart and you'll be praying for something else. He said, there's no point at which we give up. Friend, I think about praying for lost loved ones, praying for someone who's backslidden, praying for those needs that we have in life. And friend, we ought not never to give up hope until God answers. We ought to be persistent in our prayer life. I can think about personally for me, I think, and it still bothers me to this day, when I prayed for a young man and he had such great potential, but I'd watched him take much of the same path that I had taken as a young person. And I knew where that path led. And God so burdened my heart for that young man, because I knew God wanted to do something with his life. But I saw him taking the very same steps that I had took, and I saw him headed down that same road. And God burdened my heart for him. And I can't tell you the times when I knelt down in a room by myself and shed tears on his behalf. But I say that to say this, there came a point when I kind of just gave up hope. I thought, well, he's just going to have to learn the hard way. And I'd almost given up praying. But it wasn't very long after that something happened in his life, and he got hold of a few verses of Scripture, and God spoke to his heart and revealed to him that he was headed the wrong direction, and he turned around, and today he's serving the Lord in ministry today, and it's because God answered that prayer. No glory to me, because I had failed in persistence. So friend, let us not give up until we hear the answer from God. Let's not give up for that lost loved one. I think about the stories that I've heard down through years in ministry of men and women who have prayed for a lost spouse or a lost family member for 15 years, for 20 years, for 30, sometimes 40 years without giving up. And then finally, in a moment of time, God answered. Friend, we must persist in prayer. We cannot afford to give up. Friend, we need to pray until God answers or until He changes our heart about the matter. So friend, we need to be persistent in prayer. I think about Elijah, and Elijah no doubt prayed until God stopped the rain. And then I think about there again when he wanted God to once again send the rain and how he prayed, and then he asked the servant to go up and see if anything was happening and nothing yet. And so he came back and Elijah says, well, we better pray again. And he prayed until God finally sent the rain. He was persistent in prayer. He would not give up until God gave the answer. So friend, we've got to be persistent in our prayer life tonight if we want to pray in such a way that God is glorified in our prayer life. But now I wanted to give you something else. Listen to this. It says in verse number 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly, notice this, that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Something else that's vitally important in our prayer life as believers is this. It's precision in our prayer life. Friend, the simple fact is this. Most of us, a lot of times, when we kneel down and pray, this is some resemblance of how our prayers go. God, would you save the lost? God, would you help the missionaries? God, would you bless the churches? God, would you be with the pastors? God, would you help all the ones that are battling sickness and who are dealing with loss? Friend, how can God get the glory in that? We need a precise prayer life. We need to pray for precisely what God has spoken to our heart about. We need to pray precisely for what the need is. When you pray for the lost, I hope that you have a list of names of folks that you've came across, folks you've had contact with, whether it's that coworker, whether it's that family member, whether it's that neighbor down the street, whoever it is, I hope you've got a list of names. And I hope that you're faithfully calling those names out before Almighty God, trusting Him that He'll save them. Friend, that's something all of us can do. How many in here know somebody that's lost? And you could call them by name tonight. Every one of us, no doubt. And friend, if that's the case, ought it not to bring much more glory and honor to God for us to pray precisely for that individual? But you know what the problem is? A lot of times we're afraid. What if God doesn't answer? What if I pray for that person to be healed, or I pray for that person to be saved and it doesn't happen? What then? And that's not up to you and me. That's in the hands of Almighty God. And it's in the heart and mind of the individual for whom you're praying. Friend, God will not force anybody to be saved. But friend, I do know this. I've watched it too many times that God works in response to our prayers. I think about my father-in-law and the many who prayed faithfully for him to be saved. And he came from a very rough background. Probably some of you heard me talk about him. And we prayed for him. And I can remember the night that he got saved. And I remember there were many under that tent, and they were on the altar, and I was in that group, and we were praying, begging God to save him. Many there on the altar shedding tears. And there were several more that had just gotten outside of the tent and went inside the church and were just begging God there on the altar in the church that God would save his soul. And friend, I watched as he hung around, and finally he went over and grabbed the evangelist by the hand and said, I need to get saved. And friend, it's because there was somebody praying precisely for him. We weren't praying, God, would you save whoever it is underneath this tent that's lost? No, because we knew at least one individual that was there that we knew without a doubt was lost. And we were praying precisely for him. And friend, I hope you'll do the very same thing. Pray precisely, because that, my friend, is when God is glorified, when we can pray and we can see God answer. I think about the lady this morning. I know that there's some of you that have prayed for her and to see her come. And even in the midst of Sunday school this morning, begin to shed tears. And then this morning during the message to shed tears and just a desire for God to work in her life and then to have somebody go and show her what it takes to be saved and for her to trust Christ. Somebody was praying precisely for her. Friend, don't let me shock you tonight, but somebody was praying precisely for you. I'm thankful for a mom and dad who prayed precisely for me, who pray that God would save me. Friend, I'm thankful for others who were praying for me. I'm thankful even to this day for some who lift up my name in prayer that God might continue to use me. And if God does anything with my life, I owe much of that to the fact that somebody's calling out my name in prayer. And so do you. If God does anything with your life, just know there are probably some faithful folks somewhere who are calling your name out in prayer. I think of those missionaries over there, and I think about, oh boy, what glory is brought when we simply bow before God and say, God, would you just bless all of our missionaries we support? Hey, let me tell you, if you don't have a list, we can get you a list. I want you to pray for those missionaries specifically. I've already devoted a specific day of the week that I'm going to get before God, and I'm going to kneel down, and I'm going to call every missionary we support. I'm going to call their name out in prayer because I believe that's what needs to happen. I believe we need to pray precisely because that, my friend, is when God is honored, when God is glorified. And not only do we pray for them by name, but we ought to get familiar as we walk down the hall and read their letters and see the specific needs that they have in their ministries. We ought to call those things out and bring them before God that we may hear in that next letter. Hey, what a joy it is to know when you pray for something and you say, well, we have a need for a vehicle, or we have a need for a place to meet, or we have a need for more finances, or whatever it is. And we pray and we pray, and then we get the next letter and they say, praise God, God answered your prayers. And that's when God is glorified. That's what it takes to glorify God. There's no way that God can be glorified when we pray in some great generalities. But we feel a lot of times there's safety in that. Hey, I don't have to worry about being let down if I just pray generally. But hey, what a joy it is. I'll never forget, down through the course of my life and ministry, the prayers that God has answered specifically, exactly as I prayed them. I think about it back there in the church in North Carolina, and when I really got serious about prayer with some other young men, and we started up before service this men's prayer room. And we would get back there and we'd pray, and we had one Sunday and we just prayed. We said, God, our choir, we've kind of just been going through the motions, and God, I pray that you would just stir in the hearts of our choir members today. And God, let us sing with passion. Let us sing with excitement. Let us sing as though we're truly singing to the glory of God. And I can remember still to this day that Sunday walking out, and I remember as the choir began to sing, I don't even know what the song was, but tears began to flow in several members of that choir, and I watched, and all of a sudden it went from not just a choir singing, but now there were folks testifying about the goodness of Almighty God. And God got into that service and changed hearts and lives, but He answered a specific prayer. And I remember after that service, me and those other young men, and we couldn't wait to get to go and talk to one another and say, did you see what God did? That's exactly what we prayed for. Did you see how God answered? I can think of another time we met back there in that prayer room. We were having a youth meeting, and there was a young lady that many had witnessed to, many had prayed for, and we knew that she was going to be in the service that morning, and we knew without a doubt she was lost. And I think about how we prayed for her, called her name out and said, God, would you save her today? And then we watched, and sure enough, there she sat just a few rows back over on this side. And I think about as we watched and the invitation was given, and as was often the case, the pastor had asked me, he said, would you come down front and be prepared for if somebody were to come forward? And I came down there and I'm looking around while everyone else's heads are bowed, everyone else's eyes are closed, and I'm watching this young lady and tears begin to flow down her face. And I watched her, and even then I was praying, God, would you save her? And then just before the invitation was to be closed, she stepped out of the aisle and came down and met with the pastor's wife there at the front of the church. And she knelt down on the altar and was gloriously saved. And friend, again, we got there after church, and that group of men who had prayed for her, we got together and we just praised and glorified God for what He'd done, because He'd answered our prayers specifically. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like praying for something specific and watching God answer. And it's then and only then that God can be glorified in our prayer life. So let us pray, not just with purity of heart, not just with passion, not just with persistence, but let us pray with precision. Let's ask God for exactly what we want Him to do, and then watch and see if He doesn't answer. Friend, don't be afraid to ask God for those big things. Don't be afraid to ask God for something. Just know, hey, it's in His hands at that point. All you and I can do is bring it and lay it at the feet of Almighty God and trust Him with it. Because, friend, He knows best. Hey, when we pray, I can remember multiple times when we prayed specifically for healing, and God chose different. God chose maybe to take that person's life. But I tell you this, I never had a regret, because I'd rather pray specifically for God to heal them than to wonder what might have been had I prayed. Friend, sometimes it's not God's will. But friend, I don't want to be the one that's guilty of not at least praying. So now let's look at one more thing here tonight. And this, if you don't get anything else from the message tonight, I want you to hear this last point, because this is the most important. I want you to turn with me over to 1 Kings chapter 18, because we're going to look at just a little bit more about Elijah and something we'll see in the midst of the very simple prayer that he prayed. 1 Kings chapter number 18. This is a familiar story probably to all of us, as God is there about to reveal Himself by sending the fire and consuming the sacrifice after the worshipers of Baal have toiled for all day long. They've cut themselves, they've cried out and everything, and their God never answered. But now I want you to notice the simple prayer that Elijah prayed, because the most important thing is that we pray with purpose. And let me tell you, if you want to see your prayers answered, one of the keys to having your prayers answered is this. It's praying with the right motivation. And I want you to see what motivated Elijah to pray as he did. Look with me in verse number 36 and verse number 37. We'll begin reading in verse 35. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. He's finished the preparations for this, what God is about to do. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and now he prays this simple prayer. And he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Listen to what he says in verse number 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Friend, I want to tell you the thing that's vitally important as you pray. What is it that motivates your prayers? Friend, I can't count the number of times that I've prayed with selfish motivation. I've prayed for someone to be healed because I wanted them to stay. I wanted them to be better. I wanted them to be restored so that I could have that friend back or that loved one back. And I prayed selfishly. I can't think of the times that I've prayed other times when it was maybe I was getting ready to preach, or maybe I was getting ready to do something in ministry, and I prayed and asked God to do something. But I prayed and I asked God those things selfishly so that people would see me. And let me tell you, any time we pray with a selfish motivation, we've missed it. We've missed it. That's a prayer life that absolutely will never bring glory and honor to Almighty God. We need to pray with purpose. Notice what it was that motivated Elijah's prayer. We find it at least twice in this short, just a few words that the prophet of Elijah said. But listen to what he said. He says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God. Let it be known this day that Thou art God. And then again he says in verse number 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God. Elijah wasn't praying so that they would send fire, so that they could say, boy, look at what a great prophet Elijah is. Elijah wasn't praying for this so that he could just show off in front of those prophets of Baal and say, ha, look at you guys, you couldn't do it, but I could. That wasn't at all Elijah's mentality. Elijah's prophet was, may God be glorified. May all of these people that stand here and are witness to this prayer today, may they know when you answer this prayer that You are the true and the living God. Friend, that's what needs to motivate. That's what needs to underpin every one of our prayers as we pray. I don't care what it is that you're praying for. If you're praying for that lost soul, will you pray in such a way that you say, God, would you save them that they may exhibit a changed life, that you may be glorified, that everybody around may know that you are God. When you're praying for that person who's sick and dealing with disease or whatever it is, would you pray in such a way that you say, God, I pray that you'd heal them so that folks may recognize the fact that you are God. When you're praying for that one who's dealing with loss, who's dealing with the grief and pain that goes with it, would you pray in such a way that you say, God, would you bring comfort? Would you bring whatever it is that they need? God, would you just work in their life and give them that grace for the hour in such a way that they may know that you alone are God? What is it that motivates our prayers? Because that, my friend, is the key to a prayer life that brings glory and honor to God. We can do all these other things. We can have a pure heart before God. We can pray with passion. We can pray persistently. We can pray precisely for what it is that we want to see God do. But if we're doing all those things and we have the wrong motivation, our prayer life will not be one that brings glory and honor to God. Friend, let us pray in such a way that God can be glorified. Let us pray and ask God for those things that would bring glory and honor to His name. Let us never be guilty of praying in such a way that we would be lifted up or that others would be lifted up. But let us pray in such a way that ultimately God is the one that is lifted up, that everything, every prayer that's answered, we simply just say, look at what God did. Not look at what I did. Hey, I say all those things and I give you those illustrations tonight not to say, well, look at what a great prayer warrior I am. But I say those things tonight to simply say this, look what a great God we serve. Friend, He stands ready to answer our prayers. Friend, I think about so many times in Scripture, He says, ask and you shall receive. Friend, I think about over, I believe it's, I don't remember where it is in Scripture, but I remember where we read and He says, you have not because you ask not. Friend, let us not be afraid to ask God for anything. Friend, sometimes the answer will be no, but more times than you expect, the answer will be yes. And you'll watch God do some great and mighty things. I think about over there also where the prophet says, call unto me and I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Friend, why is it that we don't see those things anymore? I think back and you read through the history of our forefathers in Christianity. And we read of the great moves of God and how God did wonderful things that they could only be explained by the fact God did it. Why is it we don't see that today? Friend, my fear is this, that it's because we're not asking God for those things anymore. Friend, when's the last time you asked God to send revival to our nation? When's the last time you asked God to send revival to our community? When's the last time you asked God for something that you say, I don't know how He's going to do it, but I'm going to ask Him anyhow? Friend, the simple fact is this, the one in whom you and I call upon, the one who we kneel down and lift up our voice to. The Bible says simply this, all power is given unto Him in heaven and in earth. Hey, there's nothing He's not capable of doing tonight. There's nothing you could ask Him for tonight that He is not capable and more than capable to do. So why not ask? So friend, let's just be sure that when we're asking, we're asking with a pure heart. Hey, I encourage you in your prayer life, one of the first things you need to do every time that you kneel down in prayer is do as David did and say, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because more times than not, God will reveal something to you. And He'll say, hey, I want to hear you and I want to answer your prayers. But first you got to get this right. Hey, first, maybe you need to go to that person tonight and say, look, I'm sorry for harboring bitterness against you. I'm sorry for the attitude that I've had towards you. I want to make that right because I want God to hear my prayers again. Or maybe it's that secret sin that we've held on to. And God's been nudging us and saying, why don't you deal with that? Why don't you deal with that? I so want to hear and answer your prayers. But you got to deal with that first. Your heart's got to be right with me. Friend, let's be sure that we do that. As you begin your prayer, pray and ask God, would you show me those things that I need to correct in my life? Would you show me those things for which I need to ask your forgiveness so that you can come before God with a pure heart? And then would you just pray with passion? Would you just pray with a burden? Friend, I'll tell you this. If it's been a long time since you've shed a tear in your prayer life, would you just ask God tonight, God, would you give me that burden again? When I think about, man, I believe it was Charles Finney that I read about, and he prayed and he had a burden for the lost, but he said, my burden's not what it ought to be. And he began to pray and he said, God, would you give me a greater burden for the lost? God, would you give me a greater burden for the lost? And over and time again he asked, and God began to increase his burden. God began to increase his burden to the point that he said, God, it's enough. I can no longer stand it. God, I've got the burden that I need to have for those lost souls. Would you ask God for that tonight? Just say, God, would you give me a burden for somebody tonight? I tell you, it's a joy to kneel down in prayer and shed tears over some lost soul, over someone who's hurting, over someone who's dealing with pain or dealing with grief, or someone who's struggling with sickness or disease. And it's a joy to be able to weep over those folks and to have the burden that God places in your heart. So would you pray with passion? And then would you just pray with persistence? Let's just be faithful to pray. Friend, I'm not talking about where you come before God and you say, God, would you save so-and-so, and then you never lift up their name again. But I'm talking about a daily, we make it a habit to say, God, I'm not gonna quit until you answer, until you save their soul. God, I'm going to keep praying. God, I know it seems hopeless at times. God, I know it'd be easy for me to quit. But God, I'm going to keep praying for them because I believe with all my heart you want to save them. Friend, I'll tell you, that's one thing we can pray and know without a doubt. It is the will of God. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, what a joy to know without a doubt that we're praying in the will of God. There's a lot of other areas that I can pray for, and I can't know that other than the fact that God gives me peace and places the burden there. But that's one thing that I don't even have to wonder. I can know without a doubt it is God's will for them to be saved. So friend, let us lift them up in prayer and let us do it with persistence. And then let us pray precisely. Friend, I encourage you, if you don't have a list at home of folks that you're praying for specifically, and I'm talking about those folks that are close to you, those folks that you know, that you have opportunity, would you even just pray like this? God, I want to see them saved. And God, I'm praying you'll open the door and that you'll give me personally the opportunity to witness to them, to win them to Christ, so that you may be glorified. Friend, let's pray precisely, but let's, last of all, just pray with the right motivation. Hey, let's not ever be guilty of praying selfishly, but let's pray in such a way that when God would answer our prayers, we can point and we can give Him the glory. We can point and say, look at what God did. Let's all stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I hope what's been said has been a help to you tonight. I hope it'll challenge each one of us in our prayer life. I hope that you've got a desire tonight to have a prayer life that brings glory and honor to Almighty God. Maybe tonight you'd say, I need a greater burden. Maybe tonight you'd simply say, I know I need to pray more. I've not been consistent in my prayer life. Friend, we started there with the secret of prayer is simply praying. I don't know what the need is in your heart tonight, whether it's the need of a more consistent prayer life, it's the need of that passion, that burden in prayer. Maybe there's something God's spoken to your heart about that you need to get right tonight so that God can once again hear and answer your prayers. But whatever it is tonight, would you come and do business with the Lord tonight? She's going to play just a couple of verses of invitation tonight. Would you come? There's power in a church that's a praying church. Folks, if we'll get hold of this thing and desire to have the prayer life that bring glory and honor to God, it's untelling what God can do. If we'd all just purpose to have this kind of a prayer life, the prayer life like the prophet Elijah had. Friend, remember, he was just like you and me. You and I have the same capability that he had to call under the very same God that he called upon.